Well, this evening we'll be in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 2. If you could open up your Bibles to Psalm 89, we'll all stand to read Scripture. Psalm 89, verse 1 through 15. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness shall be established in the heavens. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, your offspring I will establish forever and build up your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly sons is like the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the holy ones, and awesome to all those who surround him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a mighty Lord like you, with your faithfulness all around you? You rule the raging of the sea. When the waves arise, you still them. You crushed Rahab like a corpse. You scattered your enemies with your strong arm. The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, and strong is your hand, and victorious is your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth shall go before your presence. Blessed are the people who know the joyful shout. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your presence. Amen. So if you all would take a seat and then turn to Genesis 1. We're going to begin. This will be the breadth of our sword drill today. So Psalm and then now Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 3 through 5. Portion of scripture you all are very familiar with. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So, to let the cat out of the bag, the thing missing here is sun. S-U-N, sun. It's missing, okay? It's missing in this description of light. So, John begins in verse 5 of our study, providing the reader with the body of the letter. He says, the message is for us to hear. He tells us first that in him is no darkness at all. God is light. We know that God is light in the sense that there is no corruption, no sin, no evil, no darkness. We know from Genesis that God is also literally light, or at the minimum understands the mystery which is light. You see, before God placed the sun in the sky to rule over the day, he provided the light. And when he provided that light, he even saw the light and said that it was good. This is before the sun. I'm no physicist. I'm really no physicist. But we do have some in these walls, so I tread lightly on this. But God is, he has a full understanding of the universe because he created it. Science textbooks change because the human minds that fill its pages realize they were wrong or they were off. So they update them. The Bible never needs to change because God got it right the first time. He is the author and creator of everything. I read a few physics articles looking into light. And one interesting phrase I noticed that repeated was, and I quote, most of the light on Earth, most of the light on Earth is attributed to the sun, but not all of it. They haven't figured out that other source of light. So most of the light on Earth. So most of it on the Earth comes from the sun. That to me says that there is still a question as to where light is completely derived from. We all believe the Bible. The Bible is the authority as it was inspired by God, who indeed created the universe and made light and darkness before he created the sun. People have this insatiable desire, as we were kind of talking about earlier when we were all hanging out, to depart from the truth, just as the believers John is writing to did. They're departing from the truth, which is really evidence of sin at work inside people. It's as if people can't help but find their own way. They can be given a truth their whole life and realize that they need to find their own version of the truth. They need to make their own truth. This has been the way since sin entered the world. The world is always trying to create a truth to replace the hard truth of the Bible. They're always playing catch up because they depart from it and make their way back, almost like the prodigal son for those that return there. So, to give a few examples of that, there was a pre-Socratic period, that means before Socrates, okay, a period before Socrates, where many philosophers thought the earth was flat, right? But the Bible says in Isaiah 40:22, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. The Bible also says in Job 26:10, he drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. See, the Bible had it right the first time. The Hindus believe the earth to be supported on the back of four elephants, which stand on the shell of a gigantic tortoise floating on the surface of the world's waters. The earth of the Vedic priests was set on 12 solid pillars. Its upper side was its only habitable side. The Altaic people of northern Siberia affirm that their mighty Olgin created the earth on the waters and placed under it three great fish to support it. The Tartars and many of the other tribes of Eurasia believe the earth to be supported by a great bull. But the Bible says in Job 26:7, he stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. Need I mention that this verse, though hard to date because it's from Job, is long, long, long before the age of space exploration. So once again, God got it right the first time because he created it. The world teaches old earth, really old earth, and Big Bang theories. The Bible says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. If we were to take into account all of the times the Bible gets it right, which we don't have time for tonight, that would be apologetics on Thursday night. So we're not going to go terribly deep into it. But if we were to go into all the times the Bible gets it right, just like this, or got it right, which is all times, then if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I'm going to go with the Bible's creation account also. Okay? Because everything else is consistent. Everything else is right. God is infallible. The Word is infallible. So if everything else is right, so is the creation account. God created it in 6 days. Not to mention, quickly, a few more fun creation facts. The recession of the moon. Okay? So, do you all know what the recession of the moon is? Okay? The moon is slowly moving away from the earth. As the moon orbits the earth, its gravity pulls on the earth's oceans, which causes tides. The tides actually pull forward on the moon, causing the moon to gradually spiral outward. So the moon moves about an inch and a half away from the earth every year. That means that the moon would have been closer to the earth in the past. 6,000 some years ago, that would be about 800 feet. 6,000 years I throw out because for all intents and purposes, that could be the age of the earth we live on, okay? So it would be about 800 feet. Not much of a difference, really, considering it is 250,000 miles away from the earth. However, if we were to go back 1.4 billion years ago, well, the moon would have been touching the earth. Sorry, evolutionists, you're wrong. Many of the planets have strong magnetic fields. These decay over time. But yet they're still very strong. If they were billions of years old, I would suppose that they should be relatively weak, but they're not. We live in a spiral galaxy, the Milky Way. Over time, because of the nature of its rotation, it gets increasingly bunched up. That's a whole other conversation. But it keeps rotating. The outside is rotating, but the inside's rotating faster. And so it's twisting like rope, okay? So we live in that spiral galaxy. If it were billions of years old, it wouldn't be recognizable as a spiral. But it is. It is recognizable as a spiral. Thousands of years old? Well, you get the picture. It looks like it does today. Comets can safely only live for about 100,000 years because they get burned up by the sun. We have a lot of comets up in that sky. So I don't really know if we've hit 100,000 years. Aside from age, there are other indications that the universe was supernaturally created, as the Bible teaches. These evidences show God's creativity, not a big bang. For example, astronomers have discovered extrasolar planets. These are planets that orbit distant stars, not our sun. These planets have not been directly observed. Instead, they have been detected indirectly, usually by the gravitational tug they produce on the star they orbit. But the principles being used here are all good operational science, the kind of testable, repeatable science that can be done in a lab. So we have every reason to believe that these are indeed real planets that God created. These extrasolar planets are actually a problem for Big Bang evolutionary models of solar system formation. Secular astronomers had expected that other solar systems would resemble ours, with small planets forming very closely to their star, and large planets like Jupiter and Saturn forming farther away. But many of these extrasolar planets are just the opposite. They are large, Jupiter-sized planets orbiting very close to their star. This is inconsistent with evolutionary models of solar system formation, but it's not a problem for biblical creation. God can create many different varieties of solar systems, and apparently he has done just that. So in conclusion, not for the night, but in conclusion to this portion, the Bible says in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So why go into such length on light and creation apologetics? Well, because honestly, I got derailed while I was working on it. And it's fun to glory in all that God is and the truth that we have, right? But in all seriousness, we're called to imitate Christ, to walk in the light, to be ambassadors for him. There is a lot we cannot understand and still don't understand about the amazing God that created all the universe and all of us. In a similar way, when we are doing his work, when we are living with the truth in us, we reflect him. And yet there is still a lot about us that can't be explained by the world when we reflect his light, when we have the truth in us. We stand out. We're unique lights in a dark world when we follow his commandments. And those commandments are upside down to the logic of the world. So there's a lot about us when we're doing what God has called us to do that the world can't explain either. Our charity, our love, our ability to turn away when we're screamed at, cussed at, cursed at, our willingness to love an enemy. You know, when we follow God's commandments, there's a lot about us that the world doesn't understand logically. So as it can be described by the deeply philosophical philosophy of Star Wars, the light side of the Force, also known as the Ashla, was an aspect of the Force. The light side of the Force was aligned with calmness, and it was used for knowledge and defense. The Jedi were a major practitioner of the light side, and were the mortal enemies of the Sith, which followed the dark side of the Force. So, let's dive in. So we're in 1 John 1:5. Starting there. And I want to open it up to you gentlemen. So, verse 5, let's read through the portion that we're going to study this evening. This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you do not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So based on your study time, I'll start it with a question, but please, what did you observe, interpret, and apply out of this verse or out of this portion? But how is God light? Any takers? Okay. Absolutely. You know, spiritually, I kind of see God is light as being without blemish, without a dark side. It was because you wore a Star Wars shirt. Oh my God. Without dark side, without sin, without imperfections, completely perfect, you know? That's one way that I see it, kind of in a spiritual way, that he's light, you know. And he's light physically, of course, too, provides it. One thing that came to me is that, you know, if we're in the darkness, or if we're in, as scripture says, the shadow of death, you know, well, if Christ is walking beside us, then that shadow is simply being cast off of his light, you know, in a sense. So I kind of see God as light in that way. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
So dark, just a little bit of crude. We need to be hard on ourselves, and we do need to humble ourselves and shift the book towards her and say, you know, honey, it says right here,